Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, beginning a new chapter, Text 1. Sri Suka Uvacha. Bahiranta Pura Dvaraha. Sarva Purva Varavrita. Tato Bala Dvanim Strutva. Grihapala Samutita. Sri Suka Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Bahi Anta Puradvara. The doors inside and outside the house. Sarva. All. Purvavat. Like before. Avritaha. Closed. Tataha. Thereafter. Baladvanim. The crying of the newborn child. Srutva. Hearing. Grihapala. All the inhabitants of the house. Especially the doormen. Samutitaha. Awakened. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadev Goswami continued, My dear King Parikshit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Therefore, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child and thus awakened from their beds. Purport. The activities of Yogamaya are distinctly visible in this chapter, in which Devaki and Vasudev excuse Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities, and Kamsa becomes repentant and falls at their feet. Before the awakening of the watchmen and the others in the prison house, many other things happened. Krishna was born and transferred to the home of Yasoda in Gokula. The strong doors opened and again closed, and Vasudev resumed his former condition of being shackled. The watchmen, however, could not understand all this. They awakened only when they heard the crying of the newborn child, Yogamaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has remarked that the watchmen were just like dogs. At night, the dogs in the street act like watchmen. If one dog barks, many other dogs immediately follow it by barking. Although the street dogs are not appointed by anyone to act as watchmen, they think they are responsible for protecting the neighborhood. And as soon as someone unknown enters it, they all begin to bark. Both Yogamaya and Mahamaya act in all material activities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. But although the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under the Supreme Lord's direction, maya dakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam, dog-like watchmen, such as politicians and diplomats, think they are protecting their neighborhoods from the dangers of the outside world. These are the actions of Maya. But one who surrenders to Krishna is relieved of the protection afforded by the dogs and dog-like guardians of this material world. Translation, Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King Parikshit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Therefore, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child and thus awakened from their beds." Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nir Vishesha Sanyavari Bhashtacha Desatani. Hare Krishna. So we see in the purport here, Prabhupada again, he quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. This, of course, the Bhagavatams he was using had his commentaries in it. So this is the process in Krishna consciousness of the disciplic succession. Prabhupada would often say, "I haven't made up anything. Everything I'm giving you, it's been there. We don't need to create anything new." This was something within our society while he was here. He would have to tell us, especially us Westerners, again and again, "Don't change anything. I've given you everything." He always liked us to keep everything very simple. And Prabhupada goes on about dogs. Prabhupada had a very special relationship with the animals, because just like this was all going on in the middle of the night, Prabhupada was doing his translating work at these hours, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So he was always very aware of all the noises going on around him, particularly these dogs, as he describes here. One night, while he was translating, he's listening to these dogs barking and barking and barking. And he described the life of a dog. Of course, the life of a dog, when Prabhupada was here in 1972, even in India it's changed so much, and the life of a dog in the West was very different than what Prabhupada's description is. So Prabhupada was saying they're the most unfortunate birth, he said, to get birth as a dog. He said they're condemned. They're so unfortunate, he said, it's not even... He said their position is they're always hungry. They're starving. This is street dogs we have around here. Of course, our street dogs are also a little better off than many of the other street dogs, because the devotees are compassionate. But as he was saying this, he was saying, even giving him the compassion, he said, they're so condemned, they don't even warrant compassion. He said, this is a dog. He said, they're despised. He said, but they have one good quality. What's that quality? Even they're despised, they're condemned, they're most unfortunate, they're starving. He said, and if you feed them, he said, they'll even howl and bark more. So even by feeding him, you're not doing anyone any good, because then they become more aggressive. But despite all that, they have one good quality.
Loyalty?
Yes, loyal. He said, faithful. Loyalty, they're faithful. So that's very good quality. And then he told a story about a dog, a man, and a baby. And so this man just had a little baby, and he had his dog, and he heard some noise outside the house. So he put the baby on the bed, and then he left the dog, his dog with the baby, and he went outside to see what the noise was. So he's roaming around for a few minutes, and then he sees blood on the ground. And the dog, his dog, runs out from behind the bushes, and the dog has blood on its mouth. So immediately he becomes in anxiety, and he figures, where's the baby? He runs back into the house, and he doesn't see the baby. So now he figures right away the dogs attacked the baby, but he can't find the baby, doesn't hear the baby. So now he's desperate and immediately thinks the dog did it. So he goes in his house and he gets a gun and he goes back outside and the dog's just sitting there, just sitting looking at him faithfully. And the man, and he just, and he shoots the dog, kills the dog. As soon as he fires the gun, the baby starts crying. So then he runs back into the house and he finds the baby under the bed. So now he's like, what has happened? And the baby's fine. So then he starts walking back out of the house and he's following the blood and he goes behind the bushes. And behind the bushes is a dead fox, blood all over it. So the dog, the fox came, Prabhupada said the fox came, of course, to attack the baby. So the dog protected the baby, went, killed the fat fox, and dragged it behind the bushes and left it there. So now, of course, he was very upset, his faithful dog. So Prabhupada said this is the only good quality, he said, of the dog, is they're faithful. He said, and the purport is that if a disciple is not faithful to his spiritual master, he's lower than a dog. So this is the position of disciple to the spiritual master. Everything, and faith, what does faith, faithful, you're full of faith, complete faith in the words of the spiritual master, in the orders of the spiritual master. This is the business of the disciple. No matter what's going on, no matter what difficulties are there, no matter what troubles are there, imagine this dog. He used that example, the dog sitting there. Despite everything, the dog just sat there. Whatever his master wanted, that's okay. Whatever predicament he puts me in, I accept that. So that's disciple. We see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Huh? As he would tell the story, he left. He said, what possibility did I have of doing anything when I went to America? He said, I was a 70-year-old man with no money and a few books. He said, what was the possibility of anything becoming successful? He said, it was truly a miracle. But the miracle, as he would always say, is he simply followed the orders. He had that complete faith, loyalty. She said, loyalty. Many times people would ask me my favorite quality, Srila Prabhupada. And of course, they would ask me my favorite stories about Prabhupada. There's so many, it's always hard to pick number one. Huh? Number one. And qualities was the same. And I often think what I appreciated most was his sense of humor, his laughing. But really what was above everything else was Prabhupada's loyalty, his loyalty to his disciples, his loyalty to his followers in ISKCON society. When Prabhupada accepted a disciple, he guarantees them he's going to take you back home, back to Godhead. He said, even if he has to come back again and again, he would say, so don't make me come back. Be faithful. Follow the orders of your spiritual master. Don't invent anything. Don't find some better situation. No, simply following the orders. This was what Prabhupada did. And because of that, he was successful. Here in... He announced this morning, Dharmatma announced this morning, a godbrother of ours. He was a close friend of mine, Hams Avatar. He passed away yesterday. He had stage 4 cancer in his larynx, in his lungs. Not his lungs too, but his larynx. And he opted not to do chemotherapy. He tried natural things. It didn't work. And about 2 months ago, they told him he has some weeks, and he just set up in hospice situation with devotees. His wife's name was Yogamaya, and she took care of him with others. And he wrote many things in that last month. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he had 7 days. He was given some days by Prabhupada's mercy. He utilized it very, very nicely in absorbing himself in Krishna consciousness. And I bring this up because I was with him. It was 1975. I came here with Prabhupada my second term. I had first term as a brahmachari, then I got married, and again I was with him. So we came here in August of 1974. And Prabhupada remained here for 6 months, all the way into January, February. And of course, those 6 months, and Prabhupada was ill, and then of course I had malaria twice. Constant other things were going on. So in January, he sent Brahmananda and myself to Hawaii. He sent Brahmananda to help out because there was some disruption in the temple. This was January 1975. And he had me tag along. He said, "You get your health back." He said, "And when I return to Hawaii," he said, "I'll be in Hawaii in a week or so," he said, "then you can resume your service." And at that time, that December and January, he was in Juhu. We talked about Juhu the other day. So he was staying in Juhu week after week after week after week, making sure that the deities were protected. Yeah. This was real protection. Yeah. Prabhupada actually protected, not this Maya, Mahamaya type of protection. Yeah. We even see Kamsa here. He's apologizing. He's offering his respects. Huh? This is material consciousness. He's always only thinking about himself, what is best for me. And he reacts in that way. Where the devotee, even, and we see Devaki and Vasudeva, they forgive him everything he's done. This is the devotee. This is the difference between devotee and the demoniac. So anyway, Prabhupada finally came back to Hawaii, and I was living outside already, and I started giving him massage morning and evening. I would give him massage, as I always did. So one afternoon, myself and Hams Avatar, my godbrother who just passed, we were going to the grocery store. So we were in his car. This is 1975. His car was a 1950 Chevrolet, which doesn't mean a lot maybe to some of you, but it was very heavy, lots of metal. It was an old car when they made cars heavy and a lot of metal, kind of safer than all these plastic things you have now. So he was driving. I was sitting next to him, and in the back were our wives and one baby. So as we're driving along the highway, we came to a light. It was green. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Krishna Balaram Radhe Shyam Lalita Vishakha Ki Jai. So we were driving along at around 60, 70 kilometers an hour, and a car went through the red light, and it slammed into our car. It slammed into the driver's door where Hams Avatar was sitting. I was next to him. The car was going about 100 kilometers an hour when it hit us. It hit us so hard that our car just started spinning around. As it spun around, my door, the passenger door, opened, and somehow or other, both him and I, we got thrown into the street. And I could literally see the car just spinning around me. The ladies, they were in the back seat. They were okay. Somehow or other, they were okay in the back seat. The people in the other car and two other cars, they all died in this accident. The people that hit us, naturally, they went right through the windshield. Just right through the windshield, lying in the street, blood all over. And we're in Doty, court to everything. We just came from Safeway, shopping at Safeway. We have bags of groceries. The groceries are lying in the street. The bags are in the street. And I'm lying in the street. Of course, we're in shock. As all I remember was picking up the groceries and putting them in the bag after getting hit so hard because I was in this state of shock. So they took us to the hospital. And this was interesting too, because Ham's avatar, he got very severe whiplash, which always made it difficult for him. The rest of his life he had difficulty just swallowing. And that's where he got cancer as well, in there. And they kept us for an hour or two, did x-rays. I was in severe pain for quite some time. So anyway, that evening, I didn't go to give Prabhupada a massage. And the next day, during the day, I made my way to the temple, and Paramahamsa said, Prabhupada wants to know, where were you? I said, okay. So I went into Prabhupada's room, offered obeisances as best I could, and sat up. And he said, so what happened? He said, I heard you were in an accident. So I described this car accident that I had been in. Like I said, all these people died, and somehow or other, we got thrown out of the car, which probably saved us. So I told it to him, and he said, "Acha," which is one of the, he would lead many statements with "Acha." He said, "If not for Krishna's mercy," he said, "you would have died in that accident." And these are things you hear, and I heard Prabhupada say it, and I thought, yes, you know. So over the next few days, I would be sitting in the room. We would come in the room, different devotees, and Prabhupada would say, Srutakirti, he was in a very serious car accident. He would say, tell them the story. So then I'd tell them the story of the car accident. And then he would say, Krishna saved him, or he would have died in that accident. So he said it three times over the next couple days. So finally, even in this head was bouncing all around, I thought, Krishna saved me, somehow or other. Then other times, almost died, but Prabhupada said, this is Krishna. Somehow or other, you do a little something, and just doing a little service for Srila Prabhupada's some way or other, Krishna saved me. He wrote, I wanted to read, let me see. Oh, it's in here. Prabhupada was translating the fifth canto at that time. And he actually mentioned it somewhat in a purport. He says, the material world is compared herein to a forest. It may be argued in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There is always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. So he was very aware. And while he was here, he also, accidents would happen sometime. Prabhupada said, no one should drive, he said, at nighttime. How do you Sankirtan parties? I don't know, you have your traveling Sankirtan party. Prabhupada was against this night travel. He said, very dangerous. He said, only in the daytime you should travel. So these things have always been going on. So then, so our business was always to have faith in the spiritual master. And his instructions sometimes, they can be difficult. When Prabhupada was here, he expected his disciples. And that's why he had his leaders. If someone was prepared to do something, he would, could give them so much service. We say in, they say in the West, if you want someone to do something, ask someone who's busy. You don't find someone that's not doing anything, because he's still not going to do anything. You look for a person who's always busy, because he does things. So Prabhupada was like that. He saw his disciples. He knew who he could count on. Sometimes we would look at this person, that person, and think, why did Prabhupada engage them? Because they would do it. That was Prabhupada. I would say that was Prabhupada. Just do it. Do something practical. So when I was there in Hawaii, now it's February 1975, and now I'm home, wife, child, and I'm massaging Prabhupada, but that's all I was doing, was giving him massage. And I was thinking, Hawaii is a nice place. I think I'll just stay in Hawaii. I've been with Prabhupada for a few years now, and been sick many times, just thinking I would retire. But Prabhupada had a different idea. And it was Guru Kripa, who was Maharaj at the time, him and Yasoda Nandan, they were very intense sannyasis in 1975. So Prabhupada, was the day before he was leaving, 24 hours before he was going to leave the Hawaii, and he was going to travel back to India. So I got called into his room, and I knew this program. Being called into Prabhupada's room was always a little scary. He didn't call you in just to have a chat. If he called you in, something was going to happen, and you never knew what was going to happen. I had a little idea what might be happening, and he called me in, and he said, we'll be leaving. Paramahamsa and Nitai Das was his Sanskrit editor at the time. He said, so we're going to be leaving tomorrow. And he would always pause. So now that's an opportunity for me to say what I'm ready to do. Oh, Prabhupada, I should come? And I just sat there and looked and didn't say anything. So then he said, so you're going to stay here in Hawaii with your wife and child? And I'm already answering yes, knowing this is not the right answer, but I'm saying, yes, Prabhupada. Now, this was all arranged before I got into the room. I walked into a scene because Guru Kripa was there smiling the whole time as this was going, as these question and answers, Prabhupada was poking me. So then Guru Kripa said, Prabhupada, I know they described the wife as witch. He said, but why do they describe the children as jackals? And Prabhupada, he said, children, they're compared to jackals because they're always tearing at the flesh of the father. I need this, I need this, I need this. He said, so the father, he has to work very hard to provide for the wife and the children. Now, Guru Kripa is laughing, Prabhupada's smiling. And then again, Prabhupada looks at me, he said, so you're going to stay? I said, no, Prabhupada. I said, I'll come with you. I didn't even ask him at that point. I already knew what I was supposed to do. I said, I'll come with you, Prabhupada. He said, very nice. So Prabhupada expected much. He gave everything for us. He gave us everything. But in return, We have to have this faithfulness. We have to have this loyalty. Not just to run and hide, like he said to me here, first-class servant. He didn't just mean personal servant when he told me that. First-class servant does without being asked. It applied to me as personal servant. But that's everyone. We're all just servant. Not that we sit back and wait for temple president to say, I need somebody to do this, I need something. He expected us to step up, to help him spread Krishna consciousness around the world. He took it as, it was his duty. He understood, I'm the person who has to travel around 14 times in 10 years, travel around the world to give Krishna to everyone. And he sent you to me to help. So even when I was brahmachari, there was no question I was with him. But even as a grahasta, in that situation, he saw this is an emergency situation. You give up everything. Most of his secretaries, his Sanskrit editor, they were all grahastas. They all had wives, they all had children, and they were all traveling with Prabhupada. Not saying this needs to be done now, everyone should go and travel and leave their families, but there was a certain situation. Prabhupada expected everything from us. But in return, give you more than everything. He give you our eternal life. Krishna Balaram. This is what we get in return. But he just asked, just to give, as he would say, one lifetime. So this faith, real faithfulness. Huh? Otherwise, what? If we don't have that faith, worse than a dog. Prabhupada, what he says about dogs is not very kind. Huh? Even now we see many of us, I know my family, my daughter, she has dogs. Everybody has dogs now in the West. Here in India you have dogs. In the West they have funeral parlors for dogs. You know, when the dog dies, they have cemeteries to put the dogs in. They have motels and hotels. When you go on vacation, you can put your dog in a motel, a hotel. So this is Kali Yuga business. And Prabhupada was also compassionate, we know. On the one trip to Mayapur, the famous halfway spot from Calcutta to Mayapur where Prabhupada would take prasadam. There's one day when he just picked a sweet off his plate and threw it behind him because there was a dog behind him. And the dog jumped up and got it right in his mouth, Prabhupada's maha sweet from his hands. And Prabhupada said he was a yogi. Yogi, his previous life. Now he was a dog. Well, being yogi is not a guarantee of anything either. We have to become Prabhupada's dogs. Faithful dogs. Then our position's very secure. Just like you see when a dog has nice owner, everything is taken care of. Huh? Even though he's a dog, still he's taken care of very nicely. So we see ourselves like that, then we're very fortunate. So then on that trip following, we went to Australia. And that's when, again, Prabhupada was doing the fifth canto. Now he was on the universe, the description of the universe, every morning on the morning walk. And like you mentioned how Prabhupada, every day giving class. Imagine I once in 3 weeks and I don't know what I'll say. But every day he gave class. But every morning he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 2-3 hours every day. So everything he did was just went in continuity from his translating work in the morning to the morning walk, his discussions with the devotees, then he would go into class. He was literally person Bhagavat. Everything he said was coming from Bhagavatam, was coming from his spiritual master. So one day Paramahamsa Swami said to him, Prabhupada, we know that the sun's shining somewhere on the earth 24 hours a day. The sun's always shining. But here we read in Bhagavatam, it goes behind Sumeru Mountain. So how is the sun shining somewhere if it's behind Sumeru Mountain? And Prabhupada said, this is not scientific, he said, display here in the Bhagavatam. He said, that's in other Vedas. He said, you can read about the creation, everything about creation. He said, this is a summary study. He said, in the business here in Bhagavatam is to develop our love of God. He said, we're not interested so much. He said, our interest is to understand how great Krishna is, so that we become more and more attached to Krishna. We develop our love of Krishna. Because you can't love him unless you know something about him. He said, but there's not full description here. He said, we're not interested in that. He said, we just want to develop our love of Krishna. But these debates were going on the morning walk. Sometimes I would ask a question, not usually. But one day, I was giving Prabhupada massage. This was in Perth, Australia. And he's sitting by a swimming pool. It was a vacation cottage that was owned by a devotee's parents. So Prabhupada would take his massage right by the pool, and then he would go bathe in the pool. He would just walk down the stairs and bathe right in the pool after his massage. So this day I was behind him, and I'm massaging him. And he asked me a question. He said, so? He said, we understand the Shastra is our mother. Yes, Prabhupada. He said, so, you can only know the mother, you can only know the father through the mother, through the Shastra. You can only know Krishna by Shastra. He said, so what do the scientists say? So now he's asking me a question. I'm behind rubbing his back. So the only thing I could think of was, well, they would say you have to trust your mother, that she's telling you the truth. He didn't like that answer. I thought I was being a scientist and devil's advocate, you know, giving a tough question, you know, what the materialist would say. And that's how I answered. And he said, you have to accept. He said, it's Shastra, it's your mother. He said, you must accept. I said, I accept. He said, you must accept. He said, otherwise you have no business here. He said, you have to have that faith. I said, yes, Prabhupada. I thought, was I showing my own doubt? I didn't think I was, but he saw it differently. So then he stopped. And then he said again, okay. He said, so what would they say? What would the scientists say? He said, how can you know your father except from the mother? What would they say? So I was already so in shock from being chastised a minute ago, I didn't know what to say. And I said the same stupid thing again. And then he really got angry, and he started yelling at me. He said, you have to have faith. It's your mother. How can you not accept your mother? How can you not accept the Shastra? He said, you have to have faith in the Shastra. I said, Prabhupada. He said, if you don't have faith, he said, why are you here? He said, I'm not talking about this anymore. And I'm behind him, good, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. It was the only time it ever happened, the whole time I was with him. He just went after me. He made me wonder what I was doing. Why, if I had faith, if I actually had faith or not. So that was in the afternoon, that was noontime. So now, well, I'm doing my service, everything goes on. He doesn't say much to me during the day. And then I'm massaging him at night. That same night, I start massaging him. And he said, I had a servant. And when I said, we didn't go to the moon, He said he left. He said he couldn't accept it. He said, you're not going to go away, are you? I said, no, bro. I said, I accept. I said, I don't have any problem with that. He said, good. So he was actually, I guess, everything was going on, and he's talking all these things, and he was thinking, well, maybe Shrutakirti, he's not accepting these things. Maybe he's going to go away like my other servant went away. Actually, many devotees went away because they didn't have faith. If we don't have faith, we have no business. Like he said, why are you here? Not just to eat and sleep. A few nice meals a day we get here at Krishna Hall. No, our business is do something for Srila Prabhupada. He's given us everything, eternal life. And all he asks is that we become first class, not second class, not third class. Do things, that's what he said, third class, begrudgingly. Do something begrudgingly. It's third class servant, third class devotee. No, eager. What can I do? See something needs being done, do it. Prabhupada had once a GBC man in tears. He said, why are these pots dirty? He said, the GBC. Prabhupada, someone will be coming in to clean them. He said, this is Krishna's kitchen. There shouldn't be any dirty pots in here. He said, well, someone's coming. He said, you're here. He said, him. GBC, Prabhupada didn't care, ABC, XYZ, GBC, president, none of these. Everybody was servant. Everybody was his servant, there to help him. And whatever he wanted, if you could do that, you could make great progress in Krishna consciousness. So, it's okay to be a dog, but we have to be faithful to the words of the spiritual master. We have to be faithful to the Shastra. Execute our duty. Then our life is perfect. Otherwise, we're less than a dog. So today also, we have very soon, I think there's devotees are going to Radha Damodar Temple today, Kirtan. We also know it's a very, very special place for those of you who are going. Be sure you go to Prabhupada's rooms. Prabhupada said those rooms, the very center of the spiritual world. Because by the inspiration of Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada started this Krishna consciousness movement. He conceived of it, he said, by inspiration of Rupa Goswami. So those rooms are a very special place to us as well. So if you do go there, be sure to go there and pay your respects to Srila Prabhupada there. His presence there is also very, very powerful. His sitting room there. So we have a few minutes left. Anyone has any questions or comments? Maharaj. Panchagoda Prabhu.
Sometimes Prabhupada would ask the Christian, so you have faith and you follow the Lord Jesus, but it says thou shalt not kill, and you kill him. And you know, it's not just they think, oh, that's just a small little point, but the point being that if we say we have faith in Prabhupada, and but then we see that we have difficulty actually following. So is that an indication that we really don't have faith, or that we have to work on that faith, or
how to
fall short of fulfilling
the
Prabhupada's expectations out of the disciple?
A term Prabhupada often used was that we serve according to our capacity. I think Prabhupada said initiation, he said it's formality, and he said it's the beginning. It's not that we become devotee and you're perfect. It's the start. It's to start working towards perfection. So it's a process. So Prabhupada always, his process, no matter what anyone did, however they may have difficulties, people were falling down in front of Prabhupada. Those with him personally, you know, we had our difficulties. Being with Prabhupada was very difficult. And go away, sannyasis fell down. Is all Prabhupada ever did was plug you back into service. Because that's the cure for everything. It's why we come initially, because we're struggling in the material world. And by chanting, that's why Prabhupada also stressed chanting. I was reading today, yesterday, about devotees were asking about the road show. We had the road show. And it went on for about a year. And then finally, Prabhupada just stopped it. He said, no more road show, because he said, what is this road show? Then they had Yoga Village. They were doing operas. There were, you know, dance routines. All these different things entered into it. And Prabhupada said, you know, even, he said, if you may make some devotees by this road show, he said, they're not going to stay. He said, our business is simply Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, Sankirtan. He said, chanting our 16 rounds. This program we do here every morning, this was Prabhupada's means for us to make advancement by sticking to it. So the thing is to stick to it no matter what. And Prabhupada said with chanting japa, he said, no question of mind. He said, you chant with the tongue. He pointed to his tongue. He said, and you hear with the ears. So gradually, these things over time will fall away. And it's important that younger devotees see senior people, whatever you want to call, older people that have been around, to see that the process does work. I'm here, I'm very happily here. I've been here for a year now, almost a year, because of this lockdown. It's my first winter in Vrindavan. And just being here is an austerity. You know, Prabhupada, he came here once for 2 days in the winter and he left, went somewhere else, you know. In the summertime, sometimes he would come for a couple days and say, we've got to go somewhere else, it's too hot. So being here doing service, we've already accepted some austerities just to carry on here for Krishna Balaram in this temple. So by doing that, everything will come. Everything will come in time. Prabhupada, that's where the patience comes in. But we see over time, just like Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna saved me, I would have died in that accident. You know, I've encountered different things over the course of time where I see Krishna's protected me, you know, and feel that protection. So that's how we gradually begin to see Krishna more and more. So the process works. You're here for 20 years managing this temple, you know, so. Yes, that's what we do. We work on it. Prabhupada worked very, very hard to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. You know, he spent his lifetime preparing, and it didn't go the way he planned. You know, he said his idea was get a lot of money together, then he would have something to start the society. But everything got taken away, and then of course. He said, we have everything, he said. Yes?
About the dog, this purpose, night time, the street.
Yes.
Anyone's bouncing like a common person, then they feel responsible for protecting all the neighbor.
Yes.
They have pride, a good pride.
Yes.
The thing is at home, our neighbor should be protected. For that reason they are barking.
Yes, that's the protection. Yeah.
Very nice ego. I am protector.
I am protector. Yes. Yes. We see that here in the temples. You put the badge on someone, they're protecting. Krishna's doing all the protecting, everything. Otherwise, Maya is there, Yoga Maya, Maha Maya is there, anything can happen right under our eyes without even knowing. No? Okay. Everyone get ready. Go to Radha Damodar Temple in Nagar Sankirtan if you're going. Take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Represent Prabhupada very nicely if you go there. That was always very important to him, that we represent him very nicely, especially in Vrindavan.